afternoon, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us to the end. I'm going to be talking about a methodology called venue-based sampling today and an assessment of potential recruitment bias that exists in the methodology and a potential way to account for the recruitment bias in statistical adjustment of the data. This project is a collaboration of the New York City Health Department and the Center for Drug Use and HIV Research at New York University. I have no disclosures. So just as a background for venue-based sampling, venue-based sampling, or VBS, has its roots in targeted sampling of Waters and Brunacki that was developed in the 80s to try to recruit and identify risk factors in populations that were hidden from probabilistic sampling. They weren't like hidden from a metaphysical sense. They weren't able to be sampled and put on a population-based sampling frame from which we could derive random samples. Venue-based sampling.
Thank you. We'll hold comments. Thank you.
Thank you. So VBS then developed from that into use in target populations that congregated at defined and identifiable venues, and this was largely concentrated in the research in sociobehavioral research in HIV and substance use for MSM and drug users. So the core components of VBS is that it tries to improve upon convenient sampling of these populations by adding elements of randomness in the design. One example of this in a large application in the late 90s and early 2000s was the CDC's Young Men Survey, or YMS. It was the first large-scale use of VBS to conduct behavioral research. The target population was sexually active MSM under 30 who attended MSM-oriented social venues in New York City and six other cities around the country. The core VBS methods that are present in this and then used in other later studies are that a universal list of venues for that target population are defined. Venues are randomly selected from that universal list for as recruitment events, and then the presumed target population that's entering each venue is approached and sequentially and non-preferentially approached. So all of these are trying to build in elements of randomness into the design. So with the caveat that the target population is actually a subpopulation that attends social venues in any one of these applications, there are still issues of potential validity in the estimates from VBS designs that are influenced by two components of the selection probability across both the first and second stage of selection that we do in VBS studies. One component is the frequency of venue attendance for individuals within the target population. So if persons attend venues that we would select, if they attend them more frequently, they have a higher selection probability. And also the venue volume, people who attend venues with low volume have a relatively higher selection probability at any specific event. So there are biases in the outcomes that can exist if the outcome variables that we're studying, like sexual risk or substance use, are associated with either of these two components of probability. So to date, there are few VBS studies that have accounted for this recruitment bias, but those that have kind of limited to one or the other of these two components, and there hasn't been a direct comparison of weighted and unweighted analyses that do this adjustment for these. So my study objectives in this study were to develop a dual component weighting mechanism to adjust for these two recruitment biases simultaneously, then to apply this mechanism to a VBS data of a study of MSM that we did in New York City to assess the impact on the outcomes. And our core outcomes were HIV risk factors and the prevalence of undiagnosed HIV infection. So this study is a component of the National HIV Behavioral Surveillance Study, or NHBS. It's a 21-city study in the highest AIDS prevalence cities around the country. was funded by CDC and designed collaboratively with all of the 21 city PIs. It's an ongoing cyclical study of three risk groups, MSM, IDU, and high-risk heterosexuals that does data collection in an ongoing format. This study and the application of the weighting are going to be based on the data that we collected on MSM in New York City in 2008. This is a cross-sectional study design, and it includes a standardized structured survey and an HIV test. Okay, so the first stage venue sampling is the way in which we go about identifying and going out to venues for our target population. First, we construct a universe of MSM-oriented venues. We do this through a review of publications, ethnography, observational research. For this study, venues were eligible if at least 75% of the patrons at any venue were adult MSM. They included commercial and non-commercial venues. The peak hours of operation and four-hour blocks were also noted, so we had a comprehensive list of both venues and related daytime periods. All this information was then placed into a recruitment randomizing software, and each month of our data collection period, we generated a list of randomly selected venues and corresponding time periods. The sections were then placed on a recruitment calendar with one or two non-random events each month, such as gay pride events that didn't have a definable and ongoing presence in the community. Second stage, sampling is participant sampling. So each one of the individual recruitment events that we went to, we had a field team that were stationed in a mobile van. The field team leader counted all adult men who entered the venue, and sometimes entering a venue just meant crossing an imaginary line if it was a park or other type of outside venue. Then the counted men were sequentially approached to participate in the study by the interviewers, and the interested men were screened for eligibility, and in our study, all eligible men provided informed consent and participated. So our eligibility criteria here were male gender, adult, New York City resident, speaks English or Spanish, and for this analysis, we removed people who self-reported HIV positive and non-MSM, either not sexually active in the past year or ever. So here are the components of the one of the two weighting mechanisms or components. So we generated a response weight that integrated components of the approach rate. So that's the number of people that the number of MSM that we approached over the number that were totally counted. The response rate is the number that are interviewed over the number that are approached. The event-specific recruitment probability is the product of those two. And then the response rate, which I note as W subscript R, is the reciprocal of that recruitment probability. We calculated a different one for HIV testing because not all people who took the survey decided to have a test. The attendance weight, the second component that we used, was assessed through a survey question in which we asked men, in the past 12 months, how often have you gone to a place where gay men hang out, meet, or socialize? And then we constructed a specific weight based on the relative time frame of the discrete response options to this question. So individuals could answer that they went to a place like this once a day, more than once a week, more than once a month, or less than once a month. The two columns that list the values here should be flipped. I made a mistake in listing them, but I essentially set the relative frequency up for once a day as the reference group. And then if you think about it, people who only went to venues once a week have 1/7 the probability of venue attendance of people who went once a day. So that relative frequency, again, flip those values, would be 1/7. And then the reciprocal is the attendance weight, so 7/1. In time periods that were between two definable intervals, like more than once a week, I just set it as a midpoint between that weekly value and the daily value, so 3.5 for that. Okay, so the composite weight, which is a product of the recruitment weight and the attendance-based weight, is what we're going to actually look at when we do the comparison of weighted and unweighted analysis. I'm going to show the prevalence comparisons, weighted and unweighted, and then assess the statistical significant differences with non-overlapping confidence intervals between the two. We also categorized unique recruitment events as dependent clusters and did cluster analysis when calculating the standard errors. This is just a map to show the overall distribution of the participants. Their zip code of residence was recorded, and then all the little dots that you see on the map are all of the individual venues that we went to across the city. It was just to show that we had a largely citywide sample that wasn't just concentrated in one neighborhood or the other. Okay, so this is kind of a process measure that we did showing our overall sample size was 479. The mean venue volume size across all of the venues was 137 people, so people, our field team leader was counting at the time. Our mean approach rate was 28% overall, and our mean response rate was 62%. And as you can see, there's a substantial variation in the overall response rates from as low as 53% for dance clubs to 95% for community-based organizations. And so all of these differentials played into the calculation of that weighting mechanism. So overall, most of our sample came from bars, 60%, but we did have this kind of variety of different categories that we recruited men at. Here's the same thing showing the response rates and the distribution of the recruits for the relative attendance frequencies. So 19% attended venues once a day, and 30% at least once a week. So overall, 50% in total had attended some sort of MSM-oriented venues at least once a week. So there was a large, again, differential that we wanted to control for here. Importantly, there wasn't a huge variation in the response rate by the attendance frequency. If you just look at the last column, which is important to kind of establish the independence of the two weighting mechanisms when we're constructing a joint probability. Okay, so here's a comparison of the unweighted and the composite weighted demographics. We're looking at just race, ethnicity, and age distribution. So just to orient you, the unweighted representation of just to the crude sample was 26.1% black. When we applied the weighting mechanism, it was 43%. That we determined there was a statistically significant difference because of the non-overlapping confidence intervals there. After we did the weighting, there were more blacks and there were fewer whites significantly. By age, before we did the weighting, it was 45.7%, and after we did the weighting, it was 55.6%. There's a little bit of overlap in the confidence intervals, but it's a pretty dramatic shift from younger to older. From older to younger MSM after we apply the weighting. Okay, so here is kind of the meat and bones of what we really wanted to look at. Is after we applied for these differentials in recruitment patterns, what were the impacts on the estimates for sexual risk factors and substance use in the past year? These are all past year variables. So we looked at unprotected anal intercourse, UAI with a casual or exchange partner, five or more total partners, a group sex encounter, having an internet sex partner in the past year, binge drinking at least on a weekly basis, and hard drug use, which is just defined as using any drug except for marijuana. So for UAI with casual exchange partners, after we applied the weighting, the prevalence of this outcome went from 21% down to 9%. That was a significant difference. We also saw a dramatic drop from the number of five or more total sex partners, group sex encounters, weekly binge drinking, and hard drug use. So applying these weightings lowered the estimates of all of these risk factors. Undiagnosed HIV infection in the unweighted sample characteristics was 17.5%. After we applied the weighting, it went down a little bit to 14.8%, but it wasn't a significant difference. So in summary, we developed a two-component weighting approach to adjust for the differences in the event-specific recruitment probability and the overall venue attendance frequency that men reported in the past year. We observed a wide variation in these two components for the men that we interviewed, and we found that adjusting for these differentials in these components resulted in significantly higher prevalence estimates of young and black MSM, significantly lower prevalence estimates of high-risk sexual and substance use behaviors, and marginally lower prevalence estimates of HIV infection. So I'm just going to go into a discussion about the two components individually and try to explain why. A variation in the recruitment probability partially depends on the static size of the field team at any one event. We had 4 to 5 staff members across all of our recruitment events. So if we went to a gay pride event with 500 people that we're counting after an hour, the selection probability is much lower than at a bar that only had 10 people in it because of our static field team size. So other research designs like probability proportion to size vary the second stage recruitment probability, that participant selection probability, based on the first stage enumeration. So we're oversampling those venues or areas that have limited or smaller venue size. But that's really limited in social venue settings like our MSM-oriented venues here. So this is kind of a post hoc way around that. There are bias estimates in the crude unweighted sample characteristics if the outcome measures that we're looking at are related to the venue characteristics of this recruitment component. So, for example, MSM who are recruited at parks or sex strolls are downweighted in this analysis because their recruitment probability is much higher and their response rates were higher. And this may be partially responsible for the lower weighted estimates of these higher risk sexual behaviors like unprotected sex with casual partners. In the attendance component, the differential frequency is kind of just built into the design of a lot of venue-based sampling. In any venue, you're going to have venue attendees that go to the venue lots and not so frequently. And we have to kind of assess and understand that differential, particularly when we're looking at outcome measures that are directly related to that venue. One example is the frequency of drinking. We recruited 60% of our sample from bars. If there's a differential frequency in bar attendance, then we're bound to overestimate the prevalence of binge drinking for those higher frequency bar attenders. So that's the sort of outcome that we need to adjust for and compose a potential recruitment bias. The NHBS survey question that we use is just a proxy for the overall venue attendance, and there are a lot of limitations with it, but it's simply a way to get at the overall patterns of attendance. So there are some big limitations with this analysis, and it's really just a first step. We can't really determine whether the weighted or unweighted estimates are more or less valid than the others because we don't know the gold standard for the selection probability of any of our participants. There's no weighting component in this model for the first stage selection probability at the venue level because we don't really know, and it would be very hard to assess the overlap in terms of the venue attendance patterns of men at venue 1, 2, 3, and 4 on our list if they're going to lots. The weighting components can be influenced by seasonal variation and recall error based on what they're reporting, and the overall representativeness of our venues is really dependent on the comprehensiveness and accuracy of the venue universe that we're constructing at the beginning. So, in conclusion, there's often no gold standard in estimating the behavioral risks and disease outcomes for these high-risk populations, but the VBS design is particularly useful for designing prevention activities that target men at these type of venues. Like respondent-driven sampling, there's a lot of ongoing development and evaluation of these potential recruitment biases, and we're working to address them in both the study design method and the analytic approach to using data. I think future methodological research in this area should focus on whether the adjustments for the participant selection probabilities across the spectrum of all of the different potential venues that men could be recruited at play an important role in bias. And finally, in lieu of that, I think there should be a standard reporting of response rates, recruitment by the different venue types, and the overall venue attendance frequencies that are reported when we're putting out data that's coming from VBS studies. So thank you very much. There's my contact information.
One question. Time for one question. There you go.
So I think I missed your objectives, and I understand that you did not use RTSB to try and figure out this whole, you know, how to remove sort of biases from this many samples, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then is this a data set that you used the data set, or did you collect your data?
This is a part of a CDC study that operates in 21 cities, so there is a national data set that's open for outside investigators to analyze if there's interest.
That data set that
yes, we do collect the ethnic background of Hispanics.
Okay.